Richmond AFLW star Jess Hosking has been fined $800 for drink driving on a jet ski on the Gold Coast.
Why did you get on that jet ski? Is there anything you want to say?
Boxing legend Mike Tyson has been caught on video throwing a raft of punches at a fellow passenger on a US flight.
Well, developing now, mutiny within the Manly Sea Eagles over the club's decision to wear pride jerseys.
New allegations have emerged involving WWE billionaire CEO Vince McMahon.
He's got a black belt under the Nogueira brothers. I think a black belt under the Nogueira brothers is saying I got a free toy in my Happy Meal. I don't really...
Welcome to the Dummy M podcast. If you love league and like a laugh, then this is the show for you. Join us every week as we review all the dumbest moments on and off the field to determine who the biggest dummy is in the world of NRL. And now, here are your hosts, B-Row and T-Dog.
Well, it's a huge welcome to the 91st episode of the Dummy M podcast. However, we are back into the Dummy M competition. So there are 3 points every week. There's a 1 point awarded, a 2 points awarded, and a 3 points awarded for the dumbest things that happen on and off the field in rugby league. I am B-Row. T-Dog, you are the person who is in charge of this and in charge of the logo. So start telling us all about that, mate.
Well, I thought now that we've just come off Gladstone Community Radio.
Mm-hmm. And off-season, yeah.
Yeah, off-season, that's right. Yep, yes, yep. And we're now in the real season.
Mm-hmm.
We need something that competes with that lesser Deli M.
Yeah, that tiny little competition.
Like, exactly, right. It's... So the rugby league players think it's a big deal. So I thought, well, if they think that's a big deal, we're a big deal.
Absolutely.
You know? So I thought, let's take the time, let's design a logo, a brand, and actually have something to give to the potential winners of the Dummy M at the end of the season.
Yep.
So we've just, round one's just finished. We've got another 26 rounds of normal footy, then the finals, you know, so there's a long way to go.
Mm.
So, we designed a logo. It's now all over our social media.
Yes.
And it'll start to go on merchandise. So we're looking at getting some shirts made. But most importantly, the person who is our Dummy M of the Year 2023 will receive a yet-to-be-designed trophy or award, should say, yes. It will look similar to the rip-off or poor man version, the Dummy M.
Yep.
But it'll look very similar to our logo. You know, the person will probably most likely win something with a lanyard.
Yep.
And a dummy.
Excellent. Yeah. Now, you did mention social media. Don't forget, we're across them all. On Facebook, you can catch us at the Dummy M. We're also on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, BitChute. So you can listen to the show, you can watch some videos. But if you want to follow the actual Dummy M, we're definitely going to put that up on the Facebook page. And I'm really excited to get into our first nominees tonight. However, before we get there, we are, of course, the Dummy M. We are sponsored by the Buncher Hotel down there in Barney Point. If you need any teeth removed, then drinking in the public bar at the Buncher anytime after 10 a.m. can help you with that. So on the show today, I am incredibly excited and honoured. He is a returning guest, comedy legend Austin Tatius, and I am pumped to talk to him once more.
So J-Dub decided to take last week off.
Yep.
I'm not sure if she decided, but we might get into that.
Okay.
But she's back on this week's show. That's all that matters.
Yep.
So she'll give us another sports news headline roundup.
Yep. And we were kind enough, because she helps us out, we're not going to dock her pay for missing it because maybe she had a few too many drinks the night before. However, let's jump into it. Bit of a new format for the show. So we're going to talk about our one-pointer of round number one. So let's hear it. Who is it, buddy?
Mate, I think he's been discussed this year in our off-season, and now it's the on-season, or the actual season.
Yep.
He's our first one-pointer of the year, and it's Jerome Luai.
Okay, now he is a massive grub.
Captain Grub.
And well, he is very much, yeah. Because it used to be Munster in my eyes.
Yeah, right.
Because he's done some dog things, like kick people on the ground, etc. And I hate that phrase, because I love dogs, because dogs are a bad name.
Yeah.
But this guy, total grub, what's he done?
Well, I don't know if you've seen the footage
before. I have, yes.
Yeah. So what actually happened, I'm sure, happens dozens of times during a game, possibly even in the sheds. But Jerome Luai has decided to air some grievances to Jamin Salmon on the field in front of a camera, fully knowing the camera is there. Because you can actually see him peer over his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm on camera, and still has a go at him. Now, He had a go at him for not being where he should have been in a really crucial time of the game against the Broncos, which we won, by the way. Great win. But so he's decided to, I don't know if he's called, it's not really airing dirty laundry, he's decided to openly criticise his teammate for not being in a position he should have been in. And fully knowing that this would have been captured by the camera.
Couldn't you say heat of the moment, though?
Oh, definitely, because them losing to the Broncos at home was a huge upset.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Luai didn't play great for starters.
Yep.
They've lost to the Broncos, a team that didn't make the top eight last
year.
At home.
Yep.
So definitely a shock.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's probably come off because they've had two pretty, I won't say big losses, but two losses that weren't predicted in a row now. So they lost to St. Helens in the World Club Challenge.
Yep.
And now they lost first round to the Broncos. So they're coming off two losses, which, once again, both at home. Very unusual for them considering their last 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was pretty filthy here.
Yeah, wow. Two losses in a row in Penrith.
Yes.
So I'm imagining the crime rate went from about 91% to, say, 94%.
Is that possible down there?
For the most trusted name in news, you'd probably have to look somewhere else. However, on our show, we've got J-Dub, and here she is.
Sports, 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 sports.
Welcome back to the News Roundup with J-Dub for the Dummy M Podcast. Big story in rugby league this week with Joan Tuafua, who is Payne Haas's mum, let's remember her. Big story is that she has had an extra charge thrown at her. You can't see it, but I'm doing the inverted commas. That was the big story. You know what the extra charge is? Drink driving. She has already been charged with driving unlicensed, evade police, drive manner dangerous, and manslaughter. Three manslaughter charges, but I'm sure she's shitting herself about this extra one of drink driving. Also, she's only 46. Make sure you go and check out some footage of her. She has run uphill all the way, I'm going to suggest, with a beer in her hand. Now, I rarely get to do a story about athletics, but this week, a hurdler by the name of Jason Joseph has won a race. That's all he did. He won a race, but unfortunately, a bloke two lanes over from him came an absolute gutter. Just like not at the finishing line, but close enough. Came an absolute gutter, smashed his head on the ground. The bloke who won, Jason Joseph, never trust a man with two first names, went on to celebrate, as you would, because he's worked his balls off and now he's won the competition. But he has copped absolute shade by being the world's worst sportsman for not going and checking on the guy who came a gutter and knocked himself out. Now, I don't know about you, world's worst sportsman, I don't know, cheats, anabolic steroids, using sandpaper on cricket balls. I don't think just going and celebrating when someone, I mean, you don't want to catch loser. You don't want to go over there and see if he's okay. Now, okay, it probably wasn't the most ethical thing to do, but world's worst sportsman? I think not. So maybe change one of your names to a surname, but other than that, enjoy your victory, my friend. Finishing off this week with another NRL story. Blake Ferguson, oh, remember him? I thought we'd been rid of him. I thought he had gone by now. You may remember him from all of the, you're not allowed to drink. If you drink, you won't ever be able to play again. So he'd post a photo of him drinking a Bacardi Breezer, like pine and lemon or something like that. He's come out on his Instagram page and had a massive tantrum about how the NRL should be paying to have his nose fixed. Now, there's so much wrong with this. And it wasn't a misquote. It wasn't even a story that's been beaten up. On his own Instagram page, he's had a proper tantrum. All the toys are out of the pram because the rugby league should fix his nose because he broke it a whole bunch of times playing, which is ludicrous, obviously. And also, no one cares. The post was full of bad spelling and shit grammar. And all I can imagine is that he just needs his nose fixed so the cocaine can get a direct route there and not go round the roundabout. It's the only thing I can think of because, quite frankly, that modelling career has sailed. And that's it for me, fellas. You have a cracking week. I'm going to go off and be J-Dub somewhere else.
Hi, I'm Kirsty Carr, and you're listening to the Dummy M Podcast with B-Row and T-Dog, two aging losers trying to stay relevant in 2023.
Well, it's no secret that this guy is my favourite comedian on the face of the planet. I absolutely love this guy's stuff. I've seen him over a dozen times perform live, actually twice in our hometown,
yes,
T-Dog, so
yes,
very exciting.
Exactly right.
He joins us once again. He is a legend on the comedy scene, and we are speaking with the one and only Austin Tatius. Good afternoon, Austin. How would you be?
Oh, my pleasure, mate. And, very nice to hear those kind words, which I get rarely in this business. Most of them hate my guts, including the little man himself, the rogue McNugget.
Well, Austin, now that you've mentioned him, we've got to ask, One, why the hatred? And two, when did it start?
Well, it's not actually hatred. It's the guy seems to have a big problem with me. I mean, what I would do is get him on the show and ask him where this stems from, because I heard it. It came from somewhere. So I can't really understand what it would be, except for the issue of lack of talent. I guess, you know, when you're that short and you have no talent, and you see, in the distance, you see the nemesis who's, 6'4" and good looking and talented. It becomes something that keeps you awake.
Can I share with you, Austin, that my best mate, who is a stand-up as well, back in the day when Rove, his show, won the Logie, Peter Hellyer was on there. And my best mate was emceeing a gig with Peter Hellyer. Now, my buddy Bernie had a few beers, and Peter Hellyer was backstage going, "I can't believe we won the Logie. I can't believe we won the Logie." And my mate's like, "What did you do?" You know, like, Bernie gets on stage and he's a bit drunk and he's like, "All right, and now it's time for the award-winning Logie poofter, Peter Hellyer."
Yeah, well, what is it with that guy? I don't know. That's like a real sort of ring in, that bloke. I mean, he's devoid of charisma, talent, whatever else. So, anyway, look, anybody can be a comedian in Australia, as evidenced by that Will Anderson, whatever that is.
Oh, don't. Has this just turned into a rag out on Aussie comedians segment?
No, not really.
Yeah, well, I want to ask you then, you've obviously mentioned several names that you don't find funny. Who in the Aussie comedy circuit do you actually enjoy, besides yourself?
Well, I really like Barry. I've always really liked Barry Humphries. He wouldn't piss on me if I was on fire, but I think he's definitely a standout because he's got a great intellect. You know, I think that's necessary for this game. I think you've got to be well read. You have to be cultured. You have to know about everything, so you can bring it into the mix. You know, so Barry's always impressed me, and he doesn't like me, and I don't know why that is. Again, I don't know. You know, whenever I see him, I've seen him around a lot. He just runs the other way. But I think he's the guy to beat, and I think he's probably world class. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, without question.
I mean, a lot of that stuff. You know, the vaudevillian stuff, like the Dame Edna and the Les Patterson. I mean, he's just it's fairly puerile, a lot of that stuff. But he's got a way of making it all work and giving it a sophistication, because there's something behind it all. There's something going on there, which doesn't seem to be the case with, you know, most comedians, like, you know, the Hannah Gadsby's or the Roves, the Helliers, there is a guy that's pretty good, that Tom Gleason. I think he's got a great brain, that guy.
He's very good. He is excellent, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
He comes from Orange, which is hard to understand, but he he does have something going on there, and he's quick off the mark, and I think that's a prerequisite. You know, most of these guys that I take around when they say, "Yeah, no, Austin, no problem, mate. I got a great 10 minutes. I can even do 20, mate, if you want. I can knock you off stage." And they get up there and they're about as funny as stage 4 terminal esophageal cancer. and then they come back and they say, "Oh, yeah, it was a really good set I did then. Yeah, what do you reckon?" "Yeah, mate. Yep. Don't hold your breath." And you know, that these sort of people seem to be proliferating and in the game. So that's how it is. Mandy Nolan's pretty good, and I work with Mandy. I don't know if you know Mandy Nolan. She's
No, I can't say I do.
Well, she ran for the Greens in the seat of Richmond last year, and she's an activist, and she's probably the best comedian around the country.
I will say, one of my mates who sadly has passed, but he used to do a great joke about you, Austin. He'd be like, "I don't mean to name drop, but Ostentatious says I'm a talentless asshole." But can I just...
Who was that?
Oh, his name was Leon Sedd. He passed away about 10 years ago. He was predominantly an open micer. But one thing I really want to credit you with is the fact that you are, without question, a master of your craft. And as the saying goes, you know, you have to master the rules before you can break them. And I've seen you break the rules so many times, it's not funny. I mean, obviously, you normally have to go on stage and say the name of the town and how great they are, and you get that cheap pop. Well, I've seen you do the complete opposite, where you walk on stage and go, "You know, I was in the neighbouring town last night and we were talking about how fucking stupid you people are," and still get great laughs. Now, Austin, I want to play a bit that you did years ago, which is pure gold. But it's something that hardly any comedian in this country, and I could probably think of just under five, who could get away with what you get away with here. And I'd like to talk you through a little bit about your process afterwards, but here it is.
We got something to treasure, because the Aboriginal people got us into alcohol, and it's about time they stood up and apologised. Are there any Aboriginal people in here tonight at all? Oh, amazingly. That's a very rare opportunity for us. Come up here, mate. What's your name? We've got a very rare opportunity right now. This Aboriginal man is going to apologise to white Australia for getting the white people into fucking alcohol.
I'm very sorry for what we did to you people. I promise not to do it again.
So you should be, mate. So you should be.
Now, so many comedians talk about the fact that because of political correctness and cancel culture, you can't do stuff like that. But to me, I think you're Teflon because of how much of a master you are. Do you feel that there's no topics that are taboo anymore and that you can just get away and you've always got a way around them? Or are there actual things out there where you're a little bit hesitant to talk about?
No, there's nothing really that I'm hesitant to talk about. It's all about the approach. In that particular instance, that's me saying that the white people have fucked up the Aboriginal people.
That's right.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's nothing politically incorrect about that. However, many people come to my shows and they say, yeah, Marty's bloody racist. You know, as soon as I use the word Aboriginal, they immediately assume that's a way in for them, you know, to cut me down, you know. But the fact is that, that whole routine, that came to me on stage somewhere and, you know, I pursued it. And one night I took it to the Capitol. I think that's from that Australia Day special that I did at the Bridge Hotel, the one you just played.
Right.
But once I worked at the Capitol Theatre in front of 3,000 Anglo-Saxons, and I put that black guy in the middle of the crowd and I said, are there any Aboriginal people in the audience? And he said, yeah, man, I'm Aboriginal. And I got him up and it was just, I mean, it absolutely brought the house down.
Yeah.
It was absolutely terrific. And he had one eye, you know, and he, you know, but he's so grateful that he was there. And it was just fantastic. You know, but on that point, I mean, the stuff that I do is all of it is really about tolerance and, you know, good stuff. It's not about being nasty.
That's right. Yeah.
It's pushing every button and trying to get a reaction and trying to create something in the audience where unpredictability occurs. And that's when things get really fantastic. It's just that moment where things just explode into artistry. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, Austin, you just mentioned you played the Capitol Theatre there. That's obviously pretty big time. Do you actually have a favourite venue or a favourite, you know, gig place anywhere in Australia, or one that springs to mind that you look back on fondly?
Oh, yeah, well, that's definitely Byron Bay, and it's with that girl, Mandy Nolan, who I was talking about.
Yeah, okay.
So she runs a few rooms there, but when we got together at around January, I take my kids up to Byron and we have a holiday out there. And I do a five, six, seven shows up, which I did this year too. It was fantastic. And the audience there it's fairly eclectic because you've got smart people and stupid people and hippies and rich people and, you know, you've got feminists and you've got activists and you've got your anti-vaxxers. You've got every idiot in the imaginable and really smart, switched on people. So the audience, you know, a couple of hundred people are just, you know, they're fantastic. It's always a great show up there. And, you know, it's not precious or anything for some reason. It's just great. So I love it.
And if there's anything you want to plug at the end, go for it.
Oh, well, did we plug the doco last time? I think we did.
Yes, we did. Spoke about Skin in the Game. Yep. Yeah, I mean, you can re-mention it if you like.
When did we speak last? Was it before July?
Oh, God, we actually spoke to you very early.
Yeah, it would have been 21, yeah, 2021.
We're on episode 91, and I think you were easily in the teens.
Yeah.
What do you mean? There's been other people on the show.
Yes.
It's a documentary which is on Foxtel and Binge right now, and it's on there for the next 4 years. And it's streaming, so you can get it any time. And it's look, I'm really proud of it. I was involved with making that doco because nobody else would. I sold it to them and they love it. And everybody that's seen it seems to love it. And the guy that I got to direct is a guy I've worked with many times on many different projects. His name's Peter Cox, and he did a fantastic job. The editor was a guy called, what's his name? Anyway, he was one of Australia's great editors, and I can't even remember his name now because I'm nearly 40. Anyway, I got one of those, yeah, one of the senior moment. I had a senior moment then. But this guy is just brilliant, and he cut Newsfront, and he cut a lot of very famous movies, and he's done a great job on my thing. So ostentatious skin in the game. If you want to catch it, just, you know, subscribe to Fox. So I understand most of your the people that listen to you can't afford Foxtel. can't afford an apartment or can't afford, you know, even to sleep in their car. But if somebody out there has some cash, subscribe to Binge. It's a lot cheaper and you can give some money to Rupert Murdoch under the table. So there you go.
Yeah, excellent. Nice. Well, it is always a pleasure and we wish you all the best and no doubt at some point in the future we'll hear a little bit more of your antics and hopefully you got another special or another movie, another project that you're working on and we'll be able to talk about that.
Well, that would be good and, you know, that will be show number 277 because between now and then you'll be interviewing a lot of losers and you'll have something to look forward to. I got into comedy because, I was sweeping floors down at the RSL and I saw a couple of comedians on there one night and, I was just inspired to get into it. I don't have any talent or any particular interests or I don't even have any belief system whatsoever, but comedy seems to be the go these days.
Well, there you go.
Fantastic impersonation of Rove McManus.
Rove McManus, yeah. A comedy genius. Some superstar. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Austin.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Austin.
You're welcome.
All right, who gets the two-pointer in this week's Dummy M, mate?
Well, he's new to this team.
Okay.
But probably not new to the Dummy M.
Yep, yep.
Okay. It is the Roosters hooker, Brandon Smith.
Right.
I said Roosters, by the way, yes.
Ah, yeah, okay. The Hectic Cheese.
Yes.
Now, tell us all what he has done to earn 2 points.
So, as you know, the Hectic Cheese he's got a bit of character about him. He's got a good sense of humour. It looks like a good sense of humour, but a lot of cheek.
Yep.
And I think sometimes that cheek goes too far.
I would offer that he doesn't really think things through. That's the way he comes across to me. So you make it sort of sound like he deliberately thinks through the jokes he's going to deliver.
No. I don't think he's that intelligent. Well, you're giving him too much credit.
All right.
Yeah, so the Roosters played the Dolphins
in
the Dolphins' first ever game in the NRL.
Yep.
And the Dolphins were rank outsiders. Mm. In a two-horse race, I think the Dolphins were like $7 or $8. Mm. Like, just nobody put money on them.
Mm.
So there was a moment in the game where Brandon took it upon himself to stir the pot a bit against a former teammate of his in Felice Kaufusi.
Yep.
Well, Felice Kaufusi took umbrage with this and then decided to go on a tear.
Mm.
And he absolutely aimed up. And I think the very next tackle, he nailed Brandon Smith in the ribs to the point where he had to go off.
Wow.
Then about 90 seconds later, he's lined someone else up and just nailed him. And he was a man on mission to the point where he won the Arthur Beats him. Like,
yeah.
Second rowers don't get, or even front row, they get no plaudits. They're not the glory hounds.
Yep.
They're not the ones that win all the awards. It's normally your halfbacks and your fullbacks.
Yep.
Well, Felice Kaufusi, as a second row, won the best player on the field.
Right.
And it turns out that Brandon Smith lit the fire.
Yeah, right.
There was a tackle made and Brandon Smith gave Felice Kaufusi a shove.
Yeah.
And Felice turned around to see who it was and it was Brandon Smith. And they used to be teammates at the Storm. And he gave him a bit of a smirk.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so he's just like, hey, we got your number. And Felice went, right, okay. And then just went on a tear.
Wow.
So it came back to bite them because the Roosters lost. The Dolphins gave him a touch-up.
Yeah, absolutely they did.
So they went on to lose. So the Roosters, I think, were second favourites in the premiership behind Penrith before this game.
Yeah.
And I don't know if ambush is the right word because they would have been prepared for that. Trent Robinson is a quality coach.
Yeah.
And everyone knows what Wayne Bennett is going to deliver. Ben Dobbard said it on this show.
Yeah.
He said, Wayne Bennett's the right man for this and he was going to tell us why.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brandon Smith stirred the pot and it came back to bite them big time.
Do you think that was really what happened, or was it because you picked the Roosters to win the competition last week that you've put the mocker on them?
I see where you're going with this, B-Row. There's a possibility that, obviously, with our worldwide audience, word had got to the Dolphins and they probably posted that on the wall, and on the way out, they're like, this guy said.
G'day, this is Wally Sattler. Do you or anyone you know or love or care about have a drinking problem? Then come on down to the Butcher Hotel. And I can tell you, this week have I got a special for you. $80 gets you a carton of piss, a packet of smokes, and a smack in the head. And for the ladies, whoa, have I got something for you. West Coast Coolers. And for every bag of West Coast Coolers, got my phone number written on the inside. Ladies, if me missus answers, just say it's the wrong number. And remember, every night is piss up night at the Butcher Hotel. Tell them Wally Sattler sent ya.
All right, mate, the big three-pointer, the first three-pointer in the 2023 season of the Dummy M, who would it be?
It goes to Sharks player Wade Graham.
Okay, now, what has he done?
Well, Wade decided to get a bit fired up in his game against South on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Cracking game, by the way.
Okay.
Absolutely cracking game. South were in front, Sharks were behind. He decided to take it upon himself to, I suppose, instill a bit of aggro into the rest of his team, mm-hmm. try and get him motivated. And did a tackle that I think even by 1908 standard would be considered illegal. So he has jumped off the ground and hit a guy in the head.
Yeah, I watched it and I thought, okay, that was a little bit sort of dangerous. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I think what a lot of people, or what I hear a lot, is that the game's gone soft. The game's gone soft. Yeah, it's not like it used to be in the 70s and 80s and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
Head-eye tackle has been barred since 1908. You've never been able to tackle around the head since day one.
It was more of a shoulder, though. Than
you're right, but a connection with the head.
Okay, all right.
Back in the 80s when it was a tough game, it used to be a send-off, automatic. Okay. Like, no, off you go. Yeah. And then you wouldn't have eight people all run in and argue. They'd just go.
Yeah.
But these days we watch 35 replays do we sin bin them, do we not? You know, this kind of thing. So he's jumped off the ground, hit him in the head. But the dumbest part is that he went to the judiciary to challenge the grading.
Yeah.
So they deemed it reckless.
Yep.
And he wanted to deem it careless.
Such
black and white terms, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Because that would have downgraded it and he would have been able to play sooner.
Yeah.
Well, what a surprise. He took the risk and, he ended up costing himself an extra game.
Wow.
So he's now off for four games rather than three if he would have taken the early guilty plea. This is going to cost Wade because he's pretty much come out and said this will be his last season.
Yeah, okay.
And he is heading towards game 300.
Right.
Missing these four games, which is the biggest suspension of his career, means he has to play every game, including the grand final, to get to 300.
Oh, no.
He can't get there.
But that said, had he have taken the three...
That's right. He would have one up his sleeve.
Yeah, that's not much.
But I don't think any person in their right mind besides Wade Graham and probably the Sharks and their legal team thought that challenging this was a good idea.
But he's the captain. So isn't it the blanket rule in your club? Just go for the 3 weeks. Just go for the early thing because you're the captain and we need you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not like the Tigers, is it? It's not like they've got another four captains.
To choose from.
Hi, I'm unknown comedian Steph Broadbridge. And you're listening to the Dummy M podcast with B-Row and T-Dog. It's two white guys, and they have a podcast.
Well, T-Dog, week one, tell us the standings in the Dummy M 2023.
Well, if you've been listening, of course, we've only had one round, but that's okay. Just to recap, so our one-pointer, Jerome Luai.
Panthers,
that's right. Our two-pointer was Brandon Smith from the Roosters. And currently out in front in the Dummy M competition for 2023 is Wade Graham of the Sharks.
Well done, well done. Now, we do like to talk about positive things.
Yes.
So I think we should just roll straight into the cow, which is the champion of the week.
Yep.
So what's happened in the world of rugby league that you'd like to praise this week?
Well, I think there really is only one story worth talking about, it's the Dolphins.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like they were... I watched the game because I wanted to watch their inaugural game. Now, yeah. we were watching UFC,
we were.
Remember?
Yep.
And then as that fight was finishing, we asked them to put it on, and we were sort of watching it over our shoulder at the HRT. And I raced home to watch the second half. And it was really intriguing to watch because they just ground the Roosters down.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a team that for the last 12 months, media have made a mockery of. The fact that they've not had any marquee signings, no big names, Bennett's lost his touch, no one wants to play for him, all this kinds of thing. And now he's just, he's laughing. Speaking of laughing, now, we're obviously familiar with the Shuey.
Of course.
But are you familiar with the Finny or the Fins Up?
So are they actually selling these fins?
If they're not, they are now.
Yeah, at the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, so someone's brought a red fin.
Yeah.
And after the game, they've turned it into a Shuey. They've poured the beer in. Now, I'm not sure if everyone out there has seen it, but there's a video going around where the fan did this just near Wayne Bennett in the coach's box. Now, Wayne Bennett is essentially one of those guys. He's got one expression, or maybe two. He just looks stern, and then there's a slight smirk. This was, I'm not kidding, in all the years I've seen Wayne Bennett, this was the third expression I'd seen on his face, and it was a combination of, what's this guy doing? But a little bit of a...
Yeah, that's right.
Like he was enjoying it, but at the same time, he was initially was like, Jesus, this guy's a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'd not seen that expression on his face. So not only did they get a win, we saw that Wayne Bennett has a little bit more of a range when it comes to smiling. So,
well, mate, if you speak to many people that have been coached by him, hell, we even had Casey McGuire on his show. They say Wayne's a different person away from the media.
Yeah, wow.
And there's a really... I don't have Stan Sports, so I'm not going to get the opportunity to do it, but there's a three-part doco on the Dolphins.
Okay.
And they showed a snippet of it on Channel 9 the other day, and the guy doing the interview legitimately asked, what is it with Wayne and his... He's always very prickly and doesn't like talking to the media, and I'd really be intrigued to see that interview because this is a guy who's been in the game for 40 years, well, as a coach for 40 years, and he played before that, but he's just never really warmed to the media, or he doesn't seem to enjoy talking to the media. He has issues with the media. He even called out some journos during that first press conference.
Yeah.
Like, he pointed out one guy said, oh, it must be a big deal if they sent you here, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, I'd be really intrigued to watch that, but I don't have Stan Sports, so I'm going to see if someone will lend me their passcode so I can...
No, he's not.
No, yeah. But yeah, Cal, it has to be the Dolphins. They shocked and surprised probably everyone besides themselves.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to see if they can keep that continuing into this week.
As always, give us a like, a follow, subscribe on all the major podcast platforms and those social media sites. And a huge thank you to the Buncher Hotel who are sponsoring the Dummy M. Now, round one, mate, I've got to tell you here and now, I saw about 3 seconds of the actual competition. I didn't catch a single game. I only saw, so I work one shift a week at Hog's Breath. I'm a cook in the Army Reserve outside of my job as a teacher, and I do one shift a week at Hog's Breath just to get a bit of kitchen time. I'd finish my shift Thursday night, I'd miss the game, I'm walking out, and there's about, I don't know, there's sort of like two couples in the restaurant, and the manager's there, and I see the Storm up on the TV. They're on our like 10-metre line, and I'm like, oh no, they're going to score here. One of the Storm players drops the ball, Parramatta guy scoops it up, and in the whole restaurant, it's like dead quiet, and I've just like gone, yes! And then everyone's looked at me, and I looked at the boss, and I went, I'm going to go.
So
I left, but that is all I saw. It's really disappointing. I was so busy, and I'm sort of in transit at the moment. Yeah. I missed it all. Tell me about it.
Yeah, look, cracking game. Actually, this round of rugby league was an amazing round to watch. I got a chance to watch a fair bit of it. And when I say watch, I'm not sitting down for 80 minutes watching.
Yeah, of course.
I'm lucky enough to have a TV set up outside so I can have it on the background while I'm playing with the kids or whatever it is. So I do get a chance to watch a fair bit of it. My wife loves watching rugby league, which helps as well. So she's happy for us to watch it and have it on. I got a chance to watch 7 out of the 8 games. I didn't get a chance to watch much of the Bulldogs Manly game, and it looks like I didn't miss much anyway.
Well, Manly thrashed
them.
Because most of the games were relatively tight.
Mate, crack it. Like, the quality of league across those games was top-notch. Like, teams have come in ready, prepared. Once again, I think the salary cap is playing a real big part in diluting. Well, I shouldn't say diluting the talent, but it spreads the
leveling
talent.
Leveling it out.
Yeah, it spreads the talent. So we don't have that. And I'm sure there'll be blowouts. Don't get me wrong, especially towards the end of the year. I'm not doubting that. For round one, I honestly believe the NRL couldn't have asked for anything better.
Yeah, and I think the Dolphins winning is a huge plus.
And the ratings show that. Like, Fox Sports, their ratings were up like 18% from last year. They broke all records for them. So a great start to the year. And you know why I think more people are tuning in to Fox?
Why?
Their coverage is excellent and they don't have Gus Gould.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I love watching Origin, but I hate the fact that I've got to listen to those dribblers.
Yeah.
Him and Johns and... Oh, they're just awful. So
I find him he puts the mocker on people. Like he put the mocker on Parramatta last year. He was like, oh, I tipped Parramatta to win the competition.
Yeah.
So it was between you and him.
Yeah, I said I did too. So yeah, you put him in the same vein.
But the second he said it, I was like, that's us. That's us done. And so many times he's like, well, this team's got the momentum. And then suddenly, the second that he says it, the other team then scores. It's just like he puts the kibosh on them. But I've got to say, and I like positivity. I don't like negativity. But I did catch out the corner of my eye Ricky Stewart at a press conference just whinging again. And it's almost like Groundhog Day with that guy. He's just sitting there moping about and, isn't fair. And
he actually wasn't having a whinge about the referees for once.
Yeah.
He's more whinging about the independent doctor.
Mm.
The fact that they're the ones pulling off the guys for HIAs.
Yeah.
And I understand where he's coming from, but Ricky Stewart's not a doctor.
Yeah.
He's not a medical professional. Yeah. And he talks about the fact that, you know, he's been in the game and he knows the difference between what a concussion is and what a concussion isn't. But how do you know the severity?
Mm.
A concussion is a concussion, whether it's light, medium, heavy, you know, whether you've got... And some even delayed concussions. So it's not up to Ricky Stewart to decide.
Yeah.
These guys are medical professionals. It's like me saying, hey, Ricky, I can coach the Canberra Raiders.
Yeah.
Give me, you know, what you're doing is rubbish. What I'm going to do is clearly better than what you're going to do. Mate, no. These guys are trained professionals, have been doing it for 30-odd years. I just wish that the video refs had some referee training because they can still manage to get it wrong. But that's a discussion that I'm sure Ricky will bring up another day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, by the time listeners hear this, we'll be well and truly into round two. We've had some cracking games, obviously starting with Penrith and Souths. The thing that irks me, I noticed this last week. Mate, have you ever seen that South Park meme that whenever someone gets a bit excited, I think it's Randy, he's sitting at a computer and there's like,
you know, covered in a certain white substance.
Yeah.
Not the white substance that Melbourne players put up their nose in hotel rooms, but a different white substance.
But every time, and like I'm Gus Gould is just as guilty as this, but I even noticed this when watching Fox Sports. Any time Latrell Mitchell was around the ball, the hyperbole would go through, and it just reminds me. I reckon commentators, when they know that they're calling Latrell Mitchell, that's what they're doing. Like, they're just sitting like that. So that's going to be. But I'm really pumped. Broncos Cowboys Friday night.
Ooh,
yeah.
I'm not working actually, so that'll be a good game.
Okay, yeah. So another big one. They've notoriously had a really good history for a while. So by the time people listen to this on Sunday, I'm hoping that it's Broncos are 2 from 2. But yeah, there's some really good games over the weekend. The one I really struggle with, I'm like, who do I choose? Tigers versus the Knights.
Ooh.
Like, seriously.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a tipper because I can never get it right.
Yeah.
So, Eels are playing the Sharks this week. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
And that's actually before your game.
That's right. It is the lead-in, yeah.
Well, it looks like it's going to be a night for me at the pub. Awesome. Now, I'm in the midst of organising a guest. I've just been so flat out lately.
Yeah.
I haven't got to that. We will have someone on the show. I'm not sure who it is. To be determined at this stage.
But we will share on our socials. Make sure you follow our socials because we advertise every week who's coming up on the show. So if you want to know, join.
Yep. Well,
just make sure you like and follow The Dummy M on Facebook. There's other socials all out there. Instagram. These young kids talk about Instagram. I'm not
TikTok.
TikTok are biscuits as far as I'm concerned.
I don't spend any time on it. I go on there, upload the videos, and I get out. I really don't go through TikTok.
Yeah.
However, yes, we are on all those platforms. So make sure you give us a like, a follow, and subscribe. Thanks for tuning in. And again, thanks to the Buncher Hotel down there in Barney Point. I'm going to go and watch the footy there tonight. It'll be good. T-Dog, as you always say.
Have a beer with your dad for me.
Take care.
Biro and T-Dog, the NRL's loose integrity units.
Should we discuss this on the show, mate? Maybe I can ask you a question and get you all fired up.
I'm happy to say anything about that cunt. No.